This episode brought to you by
Audible!
Audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin for 30 days free and a book to get you started. Your book recommendation, Michael.
We're recommending Night of the Living Trekkies by Sam Stahl.
Nice.
Because it's a zombie movie, and this book is a comedy horror book.
Wait, does it take place in space?
It takes place at a Star Trek convention, and there's a zombie outbreak.
Dang.
Nice. So check out Night of the Living Trekkies on Audible.
Yeah.
This episode also brought to you by
Nick B. Hey, Nick B.
Fun fact about Nick B. He left a video for me in the Facebook group.
He did.
Ooh, was it graphic?
It was.
Nice.
Let's just say it wasn't not graphic.
All right.
Nick B. shows my excitement for noticing interior design choices in horror movies.
Really?
That's what he said.
Meaning he hates gray cracked walls and likes slightly yellow walls?
Well, no one would move into a house with gray cracked walls.
It's a fixer-upper, Mikey.
Yeah.
They're trying to flip it.
Wouldn't just put paintings over the cracks. I don't want to talk about it.
This show also brought to you by
John. Hey, John.
All right, let me tell you the truth about John.
Oh,
got an email from the Noah.
Anonymously.
Anonymously.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John has been going to Hungry Jack's drive-thrus.
Mm-hmm. What? Is that in Australia?
That's Australia.
Okay.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Know.
Fast food place in Australia.
Okay.
Did you do research for this?
I'm not going to talk about that. So he orders a bunch of food,
right?
Uh-huh. Drives up to pay with his debit card or whatever they call it in Australia.
Debit, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just throws an open soda can into the restaurant and drives off.
What?
Yeah.
That is a real dick move.
Does he get his food?
No.
That is the worst. You dick.
Who eats the food?
Nobody. Jen, how do you not understand what the prank is?
This episode also brought to you by
Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca. Hey, guys. Rebecca has an awesome Etsy store called Straight On Towards Disney.
Straight On Till Disney.
Straight On Till Disney. Pardon me.
Where she puts cute things on Mickey ears.
She does.
So you don't have no Mickey tears.
Oh, geez. That joke every time.
I love it. It was Mikey's joke. I love it.
Let's run it to the ground.
That's what we do, baby.
All right, Rebecca. Are you ready?
Get ready.
Oh, geez. Right.
I'm going to look at Jen in the eyes while I say this. Did you get your driver's license suspended?
No.
For driving all these guys crazy.
Oh,
God. I love it. Rebecca, stop doing that to those guys. Rude.
I think she's speeding away from you right now.
There's actually an express lane.
No.
It's jammed, though. This episode also brought to you by
Matt. My hero.
Oh.
Okay, so I heard some fun stories about Matt.
Oh, yeah? You just heard him?
Yeah,
around.
It's in the zeitgeist out there.
Yeah.
People are talking
People
about
are talking
Matt.
The water cooler.
We don't want to reveal our source yet.
All right, so this guy apparently he's a pretty good guy.
Yes.
That's what I hear.
Super Matt
on an elevator once.
Uh-oh.
Oh man, that's my nightmare. I'm so claustrophobic
with a pregnant woman.
What?
He ended up delivering the baby.
Oh my goodness! Did she name it after him?
Yeah,
Matt.
It was a girl, but she named her Matt.
A girl named
Tessina?
Matt.
Yeah, girl named Matt.
I get it.
A girl named, I like it.
I like
it.
It's a cute name.
He's a hero.
Yeah.
The firefighters showed up.
Did they?
And he rescued them.
What?
Did they fall down the elevator shaft and he grabbed onto their hand and it was like a monkeys all the way thing and he pulled them all up?
Yeah, it's just what I heard.
That's what I heard too.
That's exactly what happened, Jen.
Matt, we salute you.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, Matt. You truly are the favorite child in your family.
Suck it, Daniel.
We love you, Daniel.
This episode also brought to you by
Carl. Hey, Carl.
Carl's a buddy of mine. He teaches guitar to local youths in his area, which I think is Pacific Northwest-y. I don't know where, though.
How does he pick them?
They sign up, probably.
Do they ask him to pay him to teach them guitar, I guess?
Yeah, that's how it works.
I bet he's like super amped about it.
I love this.
Oh, pick. I gotcha.
Welcome to the Jokeization. So he also streams on Twitch, where I used to stream daily.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if he streams daily, but I used to. Anyway.
Stream now.
I don't. Guys, if you want to watch Carl stream, go to twitch.tv/Carlos, M-O-L.
Hey, guys. We've got two new players entering the game.
More players.
Two people just drove a gigantic truck, smashed through the pod loft door, and are running away from zombies to get into the Patreon level. There we go.
We'll
boom.
They definitely wanted to burn it down.
They did. Yeah, we got two new burn it down level patrons. We have Michael. Hey, Michael. And Cody.
Hey, Cody.
So I have been talking to Michael a little bit, and he has said for some reason he wants Mikey to insult him. So we're going to go for it.
Nice.
And we have not gotten a chance to reach out to Cody because he's so brand new. Cody, we're so happy to have you. Michael, too. You're both awesome. So, Cody, reach out. Well, Cody, we'll reach out to you and find out what if there's anything you want us to shout out or if you want us to sing your praises or Mikey to have to do a little more fun fact research.
A guy on guy pickup line. Just one. That's all I want.
I mean, we're a progressive show.
Yeah.
Michael and Cody, thank you so much for joining the party.
Yes. And Cody, reach out to us. Let us know what you want us to make fun of you, talk about. Yeah. And or plug. We already got Michael, so we're good there.
Right.
Hey, and it'll start next episode, right?
It will. Yeah, nice. Yeah. At the beginning of the month. Yeah. And guys, we only have 3 more of these spots left.
Going fast.
Yeah. And the reason for that is we don't want this entire episode to be shout outs and we don't want the episode to be 9 hours long.
Yeah. So we
can't. So we have limited it. Yeah. 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 But we love you all and we are so grateful for you guys all being patrons. It really, I can't believe that people listen to us and then give us money. It's awesome.
Yeah. You guys are amazing. And some more amazing people can get it.
Yes.
And because it's the end of the month, we're going to shout them out as well.
We are. We got 4 awesome You Can Get It level patrons, and you guys truly can get it. We have Ash. Hey, Ash. She is awesome. She's super awesome, super active in the Facebook group.
Yeah, I think most of these people are.
And we have Eddie, and I think Eddie is one of the OG.
Yeah, he is a true believer. He's been around for a long, long time.
Or he just forgot to cancel his
Eddie, are you out there?
don't
cancel. Please still listen.
Great.
Hey, we also have the patron formerly known as Karen, correctly pronounced
Karoon. Hey, Karoon.
So sorry about the, 3 months of saying your name wrong. Thank you so much for correcting us in the Facebook group.
And kindly correcting us, too. And we got a delightful story about how many times substitute teachers and Starbucks people have mispronounced his name, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Karoon is awesome. He's in the Facebook group, too.
Very kind.
And we got Veronica.
Veronica.
Fun fact about Veronica, she and I feel exactly the same way about American Horror Story. She posted that in the Facebook group today.
Positively?
Yes and no. It's mixed.
Oh, okay.
Check out the Facebook group if you want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get in there, nerds.
Yeah, it's free, guys.
So thank you to all the patrons who really helped make this show possible. You guys are amazing. Yeah. So if you guys want your very own weekly or monthly shout out, go to patreon.com/horrorvirgin and check out some of the levels there.
We got lots of really cool perks. We're working on some new fun stuff for our patron levels, some new videos, a really fun, exciting thing that we just need to figure out how to do. And you get to do things like suggest and vote on listener request episodes like this very episode that you're listening to right now.
Maybe we should bring in the theme music.
Should we? No. I don't know. I think we should let the theme music drive a giant bus into the pod loft, and that's how
I have thoughts. We should get into it.
Did he make you
Is it a hard scream or like a soft scream?
No, this dude has no prostate issues.
Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody. I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your Horror Virgin, Todd, which means I don't like scary movies. And you guys, and by you guys this week, I mean the listeners, made me watch Dawn of the Dead, the 2004 remake.
Yeah.
So have you guys all seen this before?
I saw it in theaters.
Really?
Back in the college.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I think I rented it.
Okay.
But pretty soon after it came out. Yeah.
Okay. So it's been a while since you guys have seen it?
It has been. Yeah.
It has.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is clearly my first time seeing it. What did you guys think about it tonight watching it again?
I really enjoyed it.
It was as bad as I remembered.
Okay, so split decision.
I think we're going to have some controversial opinions on this tonight or some clashes.
Yeah, everyone was telling me this was very, very scary, and I wouldn't put it that many varies. It was scary, but not very, very scary.
I think it's more gory and disturbing than scary for me.
Yeah, I can deal with gore a little bit better than you can, although sometimes I dry heave.
Yeah.
And I didn't do that much tonight. Mm-hmm. But still, some of the jump scares got me.
Yeah, there were some scary moments.
Yeah, and when that dog was in peril, I was not enjoying those moments at all.
I think it opens really strong.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
But then it just quickly just goes downhill for me.
Well, we'll get into it as we go through the movie. But yeah, I technically agree. And to that effect, let's just get into this fucking movie.
Can we talk about this fucking movie, please? Guys. So we start with Todd asking how we feel about reading the Wikipedia summary for this movie.
But that's now a joke that I make because I've asked realistically a few times and you guys always make fun of me.
But I think you're serious every time and I'm going to write it down every time.
I will say if you said yes, we would do that.
I told you this movie wasn't that scary.
And honestly, it wasn't as scary as the people in the Facebook group said it would be for me. Mm-hmm. But it was scarier than I think you led me on to believe. And Mikey, if anyone's a pro at leading somebody on, it's you. So let's get into this fucking movie.
All right. So we see Sarah Pauly, and she's a nurse at a hospital.
Is that her name in
Sarah,
the?
Her name is Anna. Halfway through the movie, I realized how awesome she is. So I transitioned into calling her Anna. Yeah. The actress's name is Sarah Pauly.
Okay.
Yeah. Her character's name is Anna.
I find like Amy Smart. I mean,
she looks like
Amy Smart.
Yeah.
Yes. She's talking to a doctor.
And they're talking about somebody who got bit and is in the ICU.
In a bar fight.
And she's like, what? Somebody got bit and is in the ICU. So first we know something's up there.
Yeah, something is afoot.
I think he got bit on the arm. So something is the arm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's talking to a doctor, which we know the man's the doctor in this because
it's 2004.
Because he's wearing a white coat, Jen. What are you implying?
Got her. Boom.
Nailed it.
Lock it up, boys. We'll see you there.
That's the patriarchy talking, Jen.
Hey, man, it gets us all in the end.
I thought she was a doctor.
I did too.
You? Anyways, she's a medical professional.
None of this stuff matters. It's like, yada, yada, yada. They got zombie apocalypse.
Her and the doctor are looking at a head x-ray for the guy who had a bite. She's like, why aren't we looking at a head x-ray for a bite
victim? Dead back to life. So we're wondering what's up with him.
Yeah, but you're right, Jen. She then goes and talks to the person who sits at the front
reception
desk.
Lady. Yeah.
I got the impression that she was like the nurse that runs that floor.
She could
be. So, I mean, it could have been a receptionist, but she was also wearing scrubs. Yeah, charge nurse. That's what I was thinking.
She's like, I want to violate HIPAA and find out what happened to that patient I had earlier.
So the charge nurse asks Amy Smart's sister if she's still working.
Is she still there? She was supposed to be off an hour ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's dedicated to her patients.
She is. And then she goes outside and sees
feet sticking out of an ambulance door.
Yeah. But nothing really happens. Right. And then she just gets in her car and drives home.
Except to say that they're really busy because they already have a call. It's the start of the shift. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now she's driving home, and we see the ticky-tacky houses driving through the little boxes neighborhood.
Yeah.
We've all seen zombie movies. It's like, it starts like every zombie movie, they're like, hey, something's happening, whisper, whisper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's on the periphery. Like, the main character doesn't see what's going on.
Yeah, like every zombie movie.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So she gets home, and her husband,
just like 28 days later.
It's just like 28 days later, and it came out 2 years after.
It's not just like 28 days later at all.
Oh, my God.
So she's driving down the road, and she sees little Vivian skate up to her car.
I can skate backwards now.
I can,
Get away my car.
Tell your mom I said hi.
Yeah.
But she's very sweet, right?
She is,
And then she acknowledges that the girl can skate backwards.
Mm-hmm. So we know something terrible is going to happen to Vivian.
You can tell she's nice. She's like, I'll skate backwards with you tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Vivian skates backwards away.
Yeah, she moonwalks away like she's exiting an awkward conversation.
Uh-huh.
And
then
the main character, Amy Smart's sister, pulls into the driveway and goes inside.
Yeah.
Is she married to that guy? I thought she was wearing a wedding ring.
Yeah, she's married.
I thought she was.
They're having date night, and they were going to go out, but they're married, so they just want to stay home and hang out.
Right.
And have shower sex.
Yes, they do. Do they have shower sex, or do they just clean each other off?
Maybe they just shower embrace.
They like American Werewolf style shower.
Except
embrace.
No biting on the shoulders.
Mm,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so while they're in the shower, we see a news update about some kind of crisis happening. But they're having dreamy Amore time in the shower, so Amore. They don't hear it.
Oh, my God.
It's classier. Than
it is classier.
Shower
if it's
doing
in
it.
Spanish, it's classier. It's a love language.
That's Amore. That's why it's Amore.
Romance.
There it goes.
Ever heard of it, Mikey?
I read about it once.
It's overrated. So anyway, because they're shower boning, they missed the special news report about zombie outbreaks.
Yeah, like it's only going to come on for the 20 minutes they're in the shower.
20 minutes?
I'm giving them a liberal amount of time.
That's
like they're
going to
mix the zombie outbreak newscast because of the 10 minutes they're in the shower.
And with this news cycle, they're having sex every 8 minutes.
It's CNN. I'm just saying, they didn't go to bed without knowing.
I mean, they clearly did, though, because then they wake up when Vivian, right? That's her
they
name?
They wake up. Yeah, husband wakes up to Vivian standing in the hall, and she's still in the shadows. And then we see it's zombie Vivian, and her lips are all fucked up.
And she's got blood all over her nightgown or whatever. Yeah.
Why did they lock the front door?
I mean, maybe Vivian has a key.
Zombies can't use keys.
Zombies can do what their bodies are used to doing.
Oh,
they
that's
might have
true.
Some
we
body
do see,
memory.
We do see Alan holding up that sign at the end.
That's stretching it, Jen. Vivian's not going to have the muscle memory to turn the key.
But they live in a good neighborhood. It's Milwaukee or wherever.
Milwaukee?
Yeah. It's Algonquin for the good land.
Oh,
yeah.
come on. Why did they leave the door unlocked?
Well, because for plot?
This is where I start getting mad. It's Vivian standing in the doorway, and if there's a child standing in your doorway who's not welcome in your home, this is when you just dropkick them.
Anyway, so Vivian's standing there all zombied out, but the husband, whose name doesn't matter because he's about to get bit in the neck.
His name is the husband.
The husband.
How's it feel, man?
Sorry. Oh, wow.
Feels great.
So the husband gets up and goes to check on Vivian because he's a pretty good dude.
Right. And he sees that she's got blood on him and he goes to go help her. And she just bites the shit out of his neck. Like tears skin out.
Oh, it was gross. So it was
gross.
Real graphic. Mm-hmm. Like, it was gross.
Yeah, it was like a hickey.
No, it's way. Is that what?
You're doing it wrong.
That's why you don't like commitments, because you keep letting girls try to zombie bite you instead of giving you hickeys.
So anyway, he gets bit on the neck. He falls back onto the bed. And then Amy's smart sister's like freaking out.
Yeah. And she sees little Vivian, who's not sweet little Vivian anymore. And the hallway, she ninja jumps up and has the demon zombiness in her eyes and is about to race down the hall, and Anna just shuts the door on her and then goes and tries to save her husband's life.
This part was graphic. It was so gross.
It was, because she's like digging in, trying to close his veins with her fingers.
Yes.
Because she's a dedicated and very talented nurse.
And she even says, I can't find it. I can't find it. Right. Move your hands. Yeah. And she tries to like tie it off with like a pillowcase or something
Stop.
Yeah.
But he dies.
Yeah, he dies. And it's sad. She turns around to go dial 911 and it's busy. Oh, and then he dies.
Yeah. All circuits are busy. Yes. Lots of 911 calls because of the whole zombie apocalypse.
Right. I don't know if you guys know about this, but there's a zombie apocalypse going on. But don't worry, Jen. He comes back to life.
He
it's
does.
Fine.
Yeah, he's
fine.
So we see her face holding the phone, and behind her, he gets up and then starts to attack her.
Yes.
And so she thinks quick and runs into the bathroom.
Grabs the keys first.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still legally married?
No, he's dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is till death do us part.
Yeah. But what about reanimate?
Nope.
So, like, what if you legally die in a car wreck and are brought back? Are you still married?
No. Loophole!
Yes!
Mikey's got secrets.
Keeping that in the back pocket.
Oh, geez. I think if you come back as yourself, you're still obligated to be married to the person that you're married.
I'll have to check the court records on that, guys.
Not how Jon Snow got out of the Night's Watch.
That is true.
That's true, yeah. Spoilers, guys.
They call it the Snow Loophole.
I'm just going to walk out of the house and be like, my watch has ended. Wife.
Just walk away from the car as it explodes.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm more ready to get married.
So anyway, her watch has ended, so she runs to the bathroom.
Yeah, she bites it into the shower, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. And it looked like her. I don't know if they had like a stunt woman to do that for
I'm
her.
I'm sure they probably did, but
I hope so,
because,
well, I mean, it still would have hurt the stunt woman, but she really bites it in that shower more than she did the night before with her husband.
So then husband shinings his face through the bathroom door.
Well, because she tries to open the window and then can't figure out, oh, it's locked.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, she's probably panicking. It's fine. Whatever.
It's not a window you usually open. It's in the bathroom.
True.
I know. That's fair, but.
You got to air it out sometimes.
Yes.
Whoa, damn, Jen.
I've heard. Yeah.
Jen is dropping heat.
For the record, no, I'm not.
Podfather died and came back. His watch has ended.
So she doesn't open the window. She goes back to the door to listen for him.
Right, because he's her husband.
Yeah,
you know?
I think she even says his name or something like that. And that's when he's shining through the door.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I remember how to open the window.
Uh-huh.
And then she opens the window and falls out.
Yeah, well, he tries to grab her feet and then she kicks him in the face.
Oh, sometimes you got to kick.
This reminds me of a story. One time I was house sitting at my grandmother's house and a serial burglar broke in.
What?
This actually happened.
Did he want your like corn checks?
Oh, I don't know. You can Google. You can Google this. You can corn checks.
You want Fruit Loops, man?
Oh, Fruit Loops.
You don't break in for cereal corn checks.
I don't know. I like corn checks. You don't have to say cereal beforehand.
No, this is creepy. This was a scary time. He had come earlier in the day and unlocked the windows in the garage so he could sneak in and walk through the kitchen. I had come in and set the alarm. This is a real serial burglar. Google the Hacks Cross Creeper in Mississippi. This really happened.
Okay.
This was the summer. So he walks in. I think it's my brother because my mom was next door to my grandmother and I was just house sitting.
Sure.
So I like yell at him and like hear like a bunch of movement. And then like he doesn't answer. The alarm starts going off. I lock the door, like open the window and bust out the screen and jump out like she didn't fall out and run to my mom's house.
You did?
Yeah. And called 911.
Yeah.
It was scary as
shit. Did they catch him?
No.
Okay.
Well, they caught him later on.
But not from that.
No.
Yeah. You did the right thing, though. You get the fuck out of
there. There was no one else in the house.
Yeah.
And my grandmother's shit's all like old. Like,
who wants to steal a tube TV?
I know. Yeah.
I locked. Yeah. I busted out that screen and flipped out that window.
Absolutely. Well, that's sort of what she does. There's no screen, but she lands on her back.
She does.
On the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. That looked painful, too. And then she walks out and she sees the devastation that's been going on.
I'm just imagining you busting out a screen window and falling onto a bunch of bushes and then like knocking over a sandcastle.
Oh,
or
I had to jump a fence.
Getting your foot caught in the swing set.
It was scary.
Like Ferris Bueller-ing over to your grandma.
I was only 20.
So she lands on her back, and then she pops up and sees, like, the devastation that's happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she, like, goes to her car and starts to see that devastation again. And yeah. then her husband starts coming out the front door.
Mm-hmm. And neighbor's, like, pointing a gun at
oh,
her.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And then so her husband comes and jumps on the car as she's backing away and, like, tries to punch through the windshield.
And cracks it.
Yeah. And as she's driving away, he starts chasing him. And that's when we know that we've got fast zombies
in
this movie.
Yeah, we got fast zombies on our hands. Yeah.
And so then he just sees somebody else and loses interest and goes and kills another neighbor. And that's the last we see of the husband.
Yeah.
Men. Mm-hmm. Losing interest in the wife and going to chase the neighbor.
The second he saw another woman, yeah, exactly. he was like, whatever, I'm going to go after this chick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
loophole.
His watch had ended.
His watch had ended.
That's true.
So anyway, she drives away from her now ex-husband.
So we're driving through and she sees all of these like ambulances and shit that's on fire and people just standing in the road and then
there's
people
like an
getting it.
It happens right in front of her and mm-hmm. blows up a gas station.
Yeah, it's like Black
yeah.
Friday out there.
Yeah.
Well, we see a helicopter, and I think this might have been a nod to the original movie. So we see a helicopter, and then we see kind of an overview shot of cars driving, and one car just T-bones another one into a gas station.
Yeah,
and
the that's
gas station explodes.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that they describe happening in the first movie, but we don't actually see.
No, in the first movie, they land a couple of them land on the mall on a helicopter in the original Dawn of the Dead.
And so then she stopped in traffic or something, and she's seeing a woman get torn apart on the top of a car, and it's really sad. And she's starting to kind of cry and start to...
It was in a bus.
Yeah. Starting to kind of realize what's going on and that shit is just all fucked up. Then a guy comes in and tries to get in her car.
Not a zombie.
Not
just
a zombie,
like a
just a guy.
Trying to steal her car.
And it could have been, like, I kind of got the impression maybe he was trying to help her.
He was panicked, but he could have just, like,
right.
knocked and been like, can I get in?
Exactly, yeah.
That's what I would have done.
That is exactly what I would have done, too.
Are you my Uber?
No.
Yeah.
What's up?
Right. But so then she drives off the road and drives straight into a pole. And
tree.
Then we've got
I'm pretty
the title
sure it's a tree.
Card.
Because the birds scatter when she hits it.
Yeah. But Mikey, what is a tree if not a pole with leaves?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said pole. Also, birds can still fly away
trees
if you
just...
drive into something near them.
Yeah.
Fun fact about birds.
Trees are organic poles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. Anyway, credits.
Credit.
And these credits were very reminiscent of 28 Days Later.
They
have like a lot of chaos going on in between title card scenes and like cast name scenes.
Yeah.
Screens.
I actually like the credits on this one because it's...
Yeah, I like them too.
Yeah, there's like a lot of news stories and mm-hmm. people running around.
Yeah.
And Zack Snyder, I think he does really good opening credits and then really poor movies.
Or and bad closing credits.
I liked 300.
Oh, I did like 300 a lot.
I liked those Photoshop abs in 300.
Ooh, me too.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of getting a little bit of a news exposition dump.
Yeah.
And they're asking, is it a virus? Are they alive or are they dead? And they're saying, we don't know. But there's lots of news footage of chaos. And then we see some people going into the White House, too. So we know that shit is all fucked up.
Well, no, and they get shot, don't they? Don't they start shooting zombies at the White House? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The president's trying to, like, retreat on Marine One, and zombies are attacking and they're
shooting. Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But all that's during the credits. None of that has anything to do with this movie particularly.
Right.
But it just sort of lays the foundation for how bad it actually is out there.
Yeah. And I like it. I like how they kind of set it all up.
Yeah, I like the credits.
It's fine. Yeah.
So now... Anna wakes up in her wrecked car and gets out, and then there's a gun right to her head. But surprise, it's Ving Rhames, who I love, and I'm so happy he's in this movie.
He's great in this movie, but he really is. Say something.
Just please.
And which is his zombie test, because
exactly.
if she can say something, she's not a zombie.
Right. And so now they walk through a graffiti tunnel.
Oh, that's the last place you should go. But yeah, they walk through a tunnel, mm-hmm. and immediately when they get on the other side of it, someone shoots at them.
Yeah.
And there's sort of a little bit of a standoff that doesn't really mean anything, but it's...
Right.
And I don't know their actors' names.
So we've got Mekhi Phifer.
Right. He's the guy who's holding the pistol. He's the guy that shot at him.
And we've got Michael, who I call blonde guy all the way
through
my
nose. Because
he's a blonde guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Mekhi Phifer's pregnant wife, right?
Yes. Who doesn't really speak for a while. Her name is Luda. She got something to say.
Yeah. Honestly, she doesn't really...
She actually doesn't have much to say to like half of the movie.
Right.
She doesn't say anything in the movie.
No, I know.
I mean, until she turns.
Well,
yeah.
It's not till they get to the baby store that we realize that she has an accent.
She has an accent?
She doesn't have anything.
Yeah, she's like Russian. Like halfway through the movie, she's like, I'm so excited about the baby.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Winter is coming in the baby.
Zach halfway through the movie was like, hey... I'm just going to change up your character a little bit. No one's going to notice. Can you talk Russian for the rest of the movie?
Mm-hmm, because you haven't said anything yet. So.
I do believe that she asked to use the bathroom in the beginning and doesn't have a Russian accent.
I think so, too.
Maybe she was trying to pass as a spy. and then gave it up halfway through.
That's what it was.
I come here to influence election.
Yeah.
So anyway, they decide to team up. I mean, Mekhi Phifer thought they might have been zombies. That's why he shot. He wasn't trying to be malicious or anything.
Well, and they're saying don't go that way because there's a bunch of zombies in the road. And there used to be 8 of us.
Yes.
And now there's only 3.
Let's see if we can make it to the mall. Then they walk up this hill and there's
and
the mall right there.
Steps away. So good plan, guys. Yeah, they made it. Hooray.
Looks like we made it. And they're at the mall.
And there's a sale on survival.
Well, it cuts from...
I don't know how they get in the mall.
It doesn't show us.
They break through with a toilet, remember?
That's how they
inside
get out of the
store.
Yeah. They never show us getting in the mall. They show us getting outside of that store.
There was a toilet outside the mall, and they just threw it through like 5 doors.
But all the entrances are sealed.
They're not toilet impenetrable. Hear me out, guys. A toilet's going to smash through any door.
There are some poop holes in this movie.
And not I toilets. Like you like the poop hole joke?
Yes.
Of course he does. It's gross. Anyway, so they're on the first floor of this mall, and then they start to like look for supplies.
Uh-huh.
And the idiot blonde guy trades out a crowbar for a croquet mallet. And of course, he immediately encounters a zombie.
You're right. That's a downgradable weapon.
Yeah, that's real dumb.
I don't know. Maybe he feels more comfortable. Maybe he's afraid he's going to crowbar himself. Maybe he was a professional croquet player.
That's a thing.
Maybe his favorite movie is Heathers. We don't know.
So anyway, he opens this door where there's a zombie behind.
He doesn't even encounter a zombie. He seeks out a zombie.
Yeah.
Because there's a door in between him and the zombie.
And
although,
then he opens the door.
To be fair, if they're going to spend significant time in this mall, they do need to clear it of zombies.
Yeah, but Ving Rhames has a gun.
Yeah.
And you know where a zombie is.
And he's fucking Ving Rhames, man.
So dumb.
I would be like glued to him
this
until the apocalypse is over.
Ving Rhames' best movie?
Disagree.
What's his best movie?
Mission Impossible. Oh. But anyway, the blonde haired dude does eventually kill that zombie by shoving the broken croquet mallet through his head.
Yeah, and it's pretty badass. But
it's
the guy,
brutal.
Yeah, because it goes like through his chin and then all the way out the top. Yeah,
just like a crowbar would have done initially.
Yeah. So they all kind of meet back up by this fountain.
Well, so they're already at the fountain and they have gone off to kind of check out the place, I guess. Maybe somebody's got to go to the bathroom.
To reinforce it and clear the zombies. Yeah.
All the doors are sealed and everything.
Right.
So Mekhi Phifer is also wandering around and he goes.
Well, he has a pistol.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And he goes up to the glass doors and he's looking out.
Oh,
and then
God.
A zombie guy presses his face right up against
the
glass.
That scared the shit out of me.
It did scare the shit out of Todd. And so then we're back at the fountain and they start to hear Michael screaming and having zombie noises. And then another zombie comes out and tries to attack Luda and Anna. Luda is the pregnant lady.
The Russian.
Yeah.
Yes.
For half
Russian.
Of the movie, she's Russian.
So then Ving Rhames is trying to shoot her, and then the zombie is somehow on top of Ving Rhames in the fountain.
Yeah, they both fall into the fountain, and Ving Rhames cuts his arm.
Yeah, and then Sarah Pauly gets the gun and smashes him in the face, and then shoots him in the shoulder, and he kind of falls back into the fountain.
Yeah, and Ving Rhames gets out.
Right, yeah, so she saved the day.
But this is when they go to the elevator, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they get up to the second floor, and then we meet 3 really hopped up security guards.
Uh-huh. It's like Paul Blart and 2 assholes.
No, it's like the security guards from Observe and Report.
Do they have guns in Observe and Report? Yeah. Oh, okay. I've never seen a mall security guard with a gun. And this is America.
It's because you don't break mall law.
It's like maritime law, but for 13-year-olds.
I mean, I imagine they probably don't have guns while they're being mall security, but they definitely seem like the type that have their own guns.
I bet mall security carries guns now.
But they might have just got guns from like a, I don't know, like a sporting goods store or
probably.
Whatever from the mall. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, or there was probably just one laying on the ground somewhere because
it's
America.
America.
And I yelled, it's Stapler, because I couldn't remember what his name was.
From House of Cards.
It's Stamper from House of Cards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you hate him right away because he's just a real big dick.
I don't know. I think he redeems himself.
Oh, he does. He does redeem himself. I do like him by the end.
He's paranoid. He's like, I don't want you guys coming up here. This is our mall.
Mm-hmm.
Only room for one group of people in our mall.
Right. Yeah, and so he'll let them out of the elevator. And I liked when they were having this real tense standoff, the elevator doors closed one time, and they had to
stick
their arm out.
No, it closes 3 times.
Does it?
It keeps doing it. It's awesome. I think it's great because it looks more realistic to me, because an elevator door would do that. It's like, shit or get off the pot, guys. Let's do this.
But they've got to give up their guns to do that. So
Stapler makes them.
Yeah, they give their guns to mall cop.
Anna was like, I'm going to end the standoff by just giving him the gun because I don't want to.
Yeah, she gives him the shotgun because she has Ving Rhames' shotgun.
Yeah.
And then
Mekhi Phifer gives it up too.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he gave it up close to 9 months ago.
Yeah. Say about 7 months ago.
To the half Russian chick.
The second half of the movie Russian?
Yeah. So anyway, they are now on the second floor of the mall. That right. is more secure.
And yeah. they go to like Circuit City and are watching all nine of the TVs on the TV wall, watching the news.
Yeah,
and
more exposition, but yeah. we learn more about the scale of what's going on.
This just in, shit's real fucked up.
It's all fucked up, yeah. Yeah, and we see some cameos at this point, too. We see Tom Savini has a cameo.
And he is who?
He did the special effects on the original movie and a bunch of other movies, too.
He also plays awesome. A biker in the original documentary.
Yep, he plays Blades in the original movie, too.
Awesome.
And we see that Ving Rhames got his arm cut in the fountain, and so Sarah Pauly needs to go stitch his arm up. And the Russian maybe got bit. And we find out that Ving Rhames' brother is waiting for him at Fort Safety or something. I can't remember what it's called.
It doesn't matter, because we never go there.
The local exactly. army fort.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. But that's where he wants to go. That's his mission for right now.
Right.
And then Sarah Pauly goes and is sad because her husband just died and she kicked him in the face and then drove off and watched him go cheat on her with another woman who he then murdered.
Right, yeah,
and
he so, definitely ate her up.
Yeah, she said...
intestines.
So she's having a little moment, and then one of the Paul Blart assholes comes over and yells at her.
Yeah, there's like a lot of tension between the two groups.
Well, and when she was honestly in that room where she was crying to get the first aid kit, but she also finds the lost and found and gets some tennis shoes.
Oh,
good call.
Okay.
From
her. Oh, yeah, because she's just wearing pajamas without shoes on.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, but he does like, get the fuck out here. Mm-hmm. So she comes back out there.
And she starts stitching Ving Rhames' arm up, and it's real gross. Michael is asking CJ, who is Stapler from House of Cards, is asking CJ what the plan is. And he's doing what I used to have to do with my former boss and kind of making him feel like it's his idea.
It's called managing upwards.
Yeah. Mm. He's sort of incepting him to make it his idea.
He is. Yeah. But like introducing these things like, hey, I'm sure you thought of putting a sign on a roof. Yeah, that was a great idea. You're a real good leader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely not going to try to kill you later.
We should not. Should we go downstairs, make sure all the things are barricaded and then put a sign on the roof? And he's like, that's my idea. Yeah, that sounds great. Why don't you guys go do that?
That's when CJ gets up and says, I'm going to give you all jobs and don't half-ass it or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So now they're going downstairs and we see that the zombie that Sarah Pauly shot in the shoulder is still in the water and that he's twitching around.
Yeah.
And it's one of their old security guards, too.
Yeah, because the three security guards know his name.
Yeah.
And Tom Savini in the news had called them twitchers.
Mm-hmm.
So they start sort of making jokes and they're like, well, the news told us to shoot him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
So they do shoot their former friend in the head.
Yeah. And it works.
Yeah.
And so now we're back to CJ's other brilliant plan of painting SOS on the top of the roof.
Yeah.
And to make himself feel like it really was his plan, he said, why don't you guys outline it in white there?
Yeah.
It's nice looking.
Honestly, it does look good. Yeah. And they painted a bunch of other shit on the walls, like people alive in here or something like that.
And
yeah,
there's signs on the sides of the mall, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Help us. And we see down in the parking lot, there are lots of zombies starting to come towards them.
Yes.
And somebody else on the other roof who has a handy whiteboard.
So this is where you meet Andy?
Yeah. And he says, Andy, alone.
Been there, Andy. Andy owns the gun store.
Yeah, and it literally says Andy's gun store.
Yeah.
Okay, so now Paul Blart dickheads lock them in a store.
Yeah, overnight.
Yes.
Because the power turns off at like a certain time every night and doesn't come back on until 8 a.m.
Right.
So the security guards lock them in a store and then the security guards lock themselves in another store. Of course, they have the keys.
Right.
And then we see the power go off.
Yep.
And then the power come back on the next morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the Paul Blart dickheads is talking about the girl from Dairy Queen who was going to come over. And they're also sad because everybody's dead.
And they also keep referring to the girl from Dairy Queen as the fat girl from Dairy Queen.
Yes. Yeah. I was not fond of that.
Although I'll say this, he was like, yeah, she's bigger. I was going to get up in that. Like he was on board for it. So nothing wrong with that. But maybe think of a better thing to call her.
Exactly.
She's going to turn his blizzard upside down.
I just found out that's a real thing.
What?
I didn't know that was a thing. We went to Dairy Queen and ordered a blizzard.
And you were like, no, hey, nice. That's cool.
And it was delicious.
Yeah, of course it was.
Yeah. Thank you, Dairy Queen. Okay. So we see Ken Foray from the original movie.
Oh,
he played Peter in the original, and he's an evangelist here.
And he's talking about how when hell gets full,
well, he says
the
line. He says, when there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Yeah, it's from Ghostbusters.
No.
Is it not?
Yeah, it's from
Dawn of the Dead.
It's also from Ghost. It's a real Bible verse, and it's quoted in a lot of movies.
Is it really? Okay.
Including Ghostbusters.
Okay, so it's the next morning, and they're making the trainee, who is a little more or less of a dickhead than the other two.
Because he hasn't been security guard in too long.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's just in training, and they haven't taught him how to not care about other people yet. Yeah, he's going to go back to caring about other people when the school year starts. Mm-hmm.
Or actually, in about 10 minutes.
Exactly.
When he walks to hallowed ground, the coffee shop in the mall.
Fun fact, Starbucks refused to be in this movie. They wanted it to be Starbucks, but they were like, nah.
And then they were like, let's think of the stupidest name we can for a coffee shop.
It's a little on the nose.
It is a little on the nose.
Anyways, but yeah, so he's walking down, I guess, to get them coffee. And Sarah Pauly's trying to get him to let them out because the bathroom in there, it was just a bathroom somebody threw through a window to try to break into the store. And they can't use it. It's on its side.
Yeah, so he lets them out.
Yeah, he does. Because he's got a heart of gold. All right, so now Ving Rhames and Mekhi Phifer are talking. And Ving Rhames really doesn't have any time for his feelings, but Mekhi Phifer says he just wants to bring his baby into the world.
Yeah, he feels like his only purpose is to bring that baby into the world.
And man, I don't think I can imagine a worse time for the zombie apocalypse to happen, like 2 months before you're about to give birth.
But that's super foreshadowing to what happens to his character later on, which I hated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, so the trainee is peeping on someone who's changing clothes. But
yeah, that's
sees,
the main character. That's Amy Smart's sister.
Yeah. Anna Smart.
But we don't ever see anything. She's just changing out of her jammies that she's been wearing since the morning before. Yeah.
Right. And so, but on the security camera, he sees a truck just driving through the parking lot. Yeah.
He goes, oh, no,
we got to save him.
Ah!
But then they all run to the roof, right?
They do.
So they can see like what's going on.
And Stamper doesn't want to let them in because he's just scared.
Oh, yeah, because they still have the guns at this point. So it's sort of another standoff, like the elevator standoff.
Right.
And Anna Smart is looking at him like, well, then you're going to have to shoot me.
Yeah.
Because we're going to help these people.
And get the fucking gun out of my face. And this is when I love her. Paul Blart asshole says, you got a mouth on you. Someone should teach you how to use it. And they punch him in the face, take the guns, and bam. And now they turn the tables. Fuck you, Paul Blart assholes. But CJ's going to redeem himself. It's okay. So Trainee has kind of turned on him now. So
yeah,
now
Trainee
they go-
is on the side of everyone else.
Right.
Yeah. Because the other two security guards are dicks.
They are, yeah.
And don't know how to get dressed in the morning. That dude put on his belt first. With, like his holster
was this his
first.
Gun belt?
Yeah, he put on it, but he's wearing boxers and a t-shirt, puts his gun belt on, then his black shirt and the hat. What are you going to put your pants on?
That's a Mall Cop 101, Doug.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. I didn't know.
You don't need pants
I didn't
until
realize.
At least 11.
My bad. But anyway, so they go downstairs and start to try and help him.
Right.
And it's Mekhi Phifer and blonde McDreamboat Michael.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're going to go outside and we're going to save him. And Mekhi's like, no, we're not.
Right.
And then he's like, no, we got to go out there and help him. And Mekhi's like, fuck, you're an idiot. We're not going to help them. And then he's like, no, we're going to go on 1, 2, 3 and Michael pushes the door and the door won't open and then Mekhi unlocks it and he's like, thanks. And then they go outside. I really like that part.
I did too. Yeah. And meanwhile, while this is happening, whoever's driving the truck is backing it down into a loading zone over like 20 zombies.
This is brutal, but awesome.
It really is. Yeah.
So Mekhi and Michael go out and start shooting zombies to clear the way.
Uh-huh.
But the people in the truck are not going in there. The people on the roof are lowering a ladder. So the people on the roof are like, go back inside.
We're
we don't
fine.
Need to.
Yeah. There are like 6 of us in here. Yeah. And they are. And they all go back inside. They shoot a bunch of zombies on the
there
way back in.
There are some close moments, but nothing really bad happens. But yeah.
Nobody gets bit.
Right.
Except a couple of people on that bus have already been bit.
Yes. So not to death.
Right.
But they are infected faux show.
Yeah. Because now we got Wheelbarrow Lady. Who has clearly been bitten and is in late stage of bittenness. And apparently they were just in a church and had come from Fort Safety or something and said that everybody's dead. Everybody's dead-ish.
Yeah, and they're talking about it. But this is where we meet. I think the new main characters are Modern Family.
Modern Family,
who's going to be with us for a while.
Uh-huh.
The older lady who is driving the van.
I think her name's, it's not Reba. It's something like that.
But she is like the Reba McEntire character from Tremors.
She is, I
she's
love
great.
Her.
We also have...
We've got a blonde girl who I think is named Monica, but I don't think it ever says her name.
She doesn't really talk that much, but she is like interested in Modern Family.
She's pretty objectified in the movie.
Yeah, this is not great.
And we've got Matt Frewer, who was Trash Can Man in the Stand miniseries, and I love him. And his daughter, Nicole...
Yeah, and honestly, I've seen him in other things, too. He's great. I've never seen that series, but he is great in everything I've seen him in.
He is.
And he
really
does
like
great
him.
Work in this. We'll get to that.
And then we've got old Wheelbarrow Lady's husband, who disappears for long portions of time until he needs to really fuck some shit up later in the movie. and that's basically, I think... Oh, and then there's Tucker, I think, is his name.
Yeah, Tucker's the guy with the ankle injury, but not a bite.
Yeah, and I really like him.
He's good.
Yeah. And so these are all of our new cast of characters, and Modern Family is kind of a dick.
Oh, and we didn't mention that they lock the two dickhead security guards in security guard mall jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turnabout is fair play, security guards.
But Anna Smart is like treating the people's wounds, and she's trying to like heal people up because the guy from Trash Can Man or whatever.
Matt Frewer, he is the Trash Can Man.
My bad. Yeah. Trash in the trash face. He's bit on the hand, and, you know, of course, Wheelbarrow Lady's got a big fucking bite out of her arm, and she is, like, super dead.
We need to call one of them dump truck after all of this.
Wheelbarrow Lady looked like a puppet.
She did look pretty fake. It looked like she was in a fat suit.
I thought she was, like, all fake. She was like,
Animatronic. Part of her was real. She had a name, Mikey.
What was her name?
We didn't know. She died without a name.
Oh, dying without a name.
I know.
But anyway.
I was like, she had one. You just didn't know it, Tucker.
Yeah, this is where we find out the rules of this zombie plague, right?
Yeah, because you kept saying, but didn't they get blood? Like, blood was in the fountain. How have they not turned yet? Because you know the 28 days later. 28
I was thinking 28 days later viral zombie, which I'm not saying this wasn't viral, but... This one didn't transfer through that kind of contact. Right. This one, you had to be bit, and then once you died after you were bit, that's when you turned. And that's what happens to the big lady.
Right.
Do you think she worked at Dairy Queen?
Maybe she did.
Oh,
she finally
got
there. And then her date was not there.
It was too late.
Stood him up.
He was locked in the dungeon.
I know, man.
But anyway, so she turns.
That is the real
turned.
Tragedy of this movie.
So Dairy Queen lady turns, and then that's when you know how zombies are created, right?
Right.
And then she starts chasing Anna Smart, and Anna Smart has to grab something and stab her through the eye.
Fireplace poker.
It's the fireplace poker. This was brutal.
It was brutal, but man, she is awesome.
Yeah, she's great, man.
And we see Matt Frewer, his daughter is patching up his arm because he got bit by a zombie. But right now, they don't know that that's a problem.
They also don't address it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And meantime, Ving Rhames has said he was going to go meet his brother at Fort Safety. And,
yeah, he wanted to take the truck.
Right. And Michael has said, no, we need your help here. Also, you'll probably die out there.
Yeah, your brother's probably dead, and people here need you.
Right. We're all going to die without you, Ving Rhames, because you are amazing.
And he is.
And so then he's about to leave. We think he's going to leave, but he goes up onto the roof, and he's talking to Andy.
Yeah.
And he writes, no help coming. Okay, so now they go meet back at Not Starbucks, and they're talking about what to do, because they know that Matt Frewer has been bitten, and Sarah Pauly now knows.
But because she knows that if you got bit and you die, you come back as a zombie.
Yeah, she tells the group. Yeah.
And Michael is like, well, then we have to kill him right now.
Right, because he's been bitten, and she wants to quarantine, because that's how the infection spreads.
And Ving Rhames is like, maybe we should kill him.
Yeah.
And so like she's like, well, then go kill him then. And so like they have this like weird standoff.
I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah, she has this weird bluff standoff where they like go and confront him. His daughter is like openly weeping, and she's like, kill him, Michael. I bet you won't.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you're not man enough to kill him.
Right, and he's not. She speaks with authority, and they listen to her. It's awesome.
But then she's like, you got to kill Trucker, too.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Tucker?
Tucker.
You got to kill Tucker, too, because he has an injury.
Yeah.
What if it's a bite? And Tucker's
like, I sprained my ankle.
What? Yeah. Guys, I tripped. I'm fine.
This escalated real quickly.
Yeah. Anyway, you're
he
right.
He like limps out of the room.
But Michael doesn't kill anybody. But Ving Rhames is like, I'll stand guard.
Right. So he goes into a store and he closes the mall.
Well, first
thing.
He's like a heartfelt goodbye with his daughter.
He does, and it's really sad.
It is. And this is where he does some amazing work. He's really good.
He really is, yeah. But meanwhile, Mekhi Phifer and his wife are in the baby store.
Yes.
And he's got a cut. She says, oh, look at that cut on your arm. It's already starting to get better. Or is it? Because we don't actually see it. And I think this is the beginning of his denial.
Oh, yeah, definitely is.
And so then Matt Frewer and his daughter are having their really heart breaking goodbye.
Yes.
And he's starting to look visibly sick and visibly infected.
Yeah, like his veins
now.
Are turning blue and sort of like the Dairy Queen lady was.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Too many blizzards, Mikey.
So now Ving Rhames is just going to wait it out. And then Matt Frewer just looks really sad, and then he dies. And then we see Sarah Polly and Michael talking to each other. And she said, I'm glad you didn't kill him. And then we hear zombie noises and a gunshot.
Yeah, we also see his daughter kind of run to another store and hide behind. But that's all through her security camera footage because her soon-to-be new boyfriend, who was the nice security guard,
is
sort of watching it happen.
Yeah, and it's really sad.
It is.
And this is the first time that we see this, but we're going to see it continue to go as we know someone's about to get shot. And we see it off camera. We just hear the shots. And I appreciate that they did that.
Me too. There's one time they don't do that, but we'll get there. It's brutal.
So it's immediately that really sad gunshot. And then we got a jazz version of Down with the Sickness.
Oh, man, I hate that band. And the jazz version of it.
Sorry, you didn't like that?
It's like kitschy and fun, but I hate that song so much that no, I didn't like it.
I did like this montage. This is like a musical montage of them getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Ving Rhames and Andy are playing chess with binoculars and their whiteboards.
But this is like a 3 months later montage.
Yeah, right.
The daughter and the nice security guard are in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The blonde lady is wearing, and I say the blonde lady because I don't think they say her name in the movie.
I think you said her name was Monica, but I don't think they say her name in the movie.
Yeah, her modern family.
She's like, yeah, she's like,
yeah,
she's putting on like sexy clothes and bangs Modern Family.
Phil Dunphy would never cheat on her.
Well, if she died of a zombie apocalypse.
It's the loophole.
His watch is ended.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So, and they're all kind of getting to know each other better. And I guess mall cops are just down getting to know each other very well in that cell.
Oh, yeah. I guess they're in the cell the whole time.
Yeah. And it's pretty interesting. And so we stop with them playing the sniper game. Which is apparently Andy, who owns the gun store.
And is also a super amazing shot.
Yeah, with a sniper rifle. They're like holding up, Modern Family is saying, shoot this one. And he's sniping him. Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell, yeah. So we know that he would be very valuable to them in the apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, and he's got like munitions. He's got like all the ammo and stuff.
Right.
And they only had the ammo they brought with them, so they don't have a whole lot of ammo.
Mm-hmm. And so now they're all talking to each other, and Mekhi Phifer is being real shady with his pregnant wife. And nobody's really seen her. And so Polly says, hey, I'm a nurse. Should I go check on her? Because she's pregnant and, you know, you need to check that shit.
And he's like, no. She's fine. I'm taking care of her. Don't worry about it.
And then they're having their get to know you dinner.
Yeah, it's like they're right in front of hallowed grounds and they're like having a candlelit dinner.
It's
yeah.
real sweet. That's what I would do in a mall.
And they're talking about something.
They're talking about what your worst job was.
Yeah.
And then Michael pulls that, what is your worst quality in a job interview? And he just lets Sarah Polly know that he's real single by saying that he's divorced.
Yeah. Three times,
yeah. And then lights are off.
Yeah.
The power's off, which would be real scary in a zombie
apocalypse.
It would
be. And they start to freak out, and then they decide to go to the generator.
They do.
To do that, they have to get the asshole security guards out.
Yeah, but first, we see Mekhi Phifer with his pregnant wife, and she's in labor, and she has started to turn into a zombie, or she's real infected.
Yeah, she's not quite dead, but she's like got that cold sweat look, and she's got the blizzard veins going. Yeah.
And she's in restraint, 4-point restraints.
Yeah.
And the baby's on the way. And so now we see security guys showing them where the generator is. And Stamper wants a gun. He says he was just going to go down and show him.
Yeah, I wouldn't go out there without a gun.
Right. Well, he was just going to be a dick and not help. I kind of agree. So anyways, Michael gives him an axe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I still wouldn't have gone without a gun.
I wouldn't have either, but that's karma for being such an asshole at the beginning of the movie.
I mean, in all fairness, I probably wouldn't have gone even with a gun, but still.
Right. Okay, so the security guys are showing them where the generators are. Dude gets an axe, and now, surprise, Ving Rhames is going to come back and save the day. And he's like, I'm not going with you. You're going with me. I've done this shit before. And he's so awesome, and I love him.
He is awesome. So
I don't think
go-
he's done that before, though.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he might have. They've been there for like 3 months. He may have gone out there to fix the generator or do whatever.
I believe that Ving Rhames has done a lot of badass shit.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you going to argue with Ving Rhames?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't.
So they go out there and they have the...
This is when we discovered that Ving Rhames is Todd's Patronus.
I don't want to talk about it. Well, because Michael is like, he's like, Ving Rhames asked Michael, do you know how to use that? Talking about the shotgun in Michael's hands, Michael shines his flashlight on the barrel and says, this is the dangerous end, right? And that's when he reaches over, turns the safety off and goes, Now it is. And of course, I said it with him because he's my Patronus.
And little red hearts kind of like hovered about out of Todd's head.
They go out into the garage. Yeah. And this is what I'm like. These people do everything dumb.
They are dumb.
They have like one guy has a flashlight, one guy has an axe, and two guys have a gun. And like the one guy is like, I see something.
And he does. Mm-hmm.
He does. Yeah. It's a dog. Like, it's Chips.
It is. But it's like moving fast. It's supposed to be like a scary fast zombie, but it actually is the dog that runs out to them.
Maybe they do see the scary fast zombies, though. And then one time it's a dog.
I think it's just the dog.
The dogs are just around the corner. Because then now legless zombie Sky attacks one of the assholes.
Yeah, I don't buy this either.
Yeah, if he has no legs, how'd he get up there?
Right.
He was on a hang glide thing.
I have
no.
He's in a garage. You can't hang glide in a garage.
Up there because he was bored. That's not how zombies work.
Maybe he got stuck up there. That's how he lost his legs.
Yeah. Mikey, ever think about that?
Yeah. I did. It sounds impossible.
It does. His muscle memory. Maybe he's just a creepy guy who likes to hang out on the ceilings of parking garages, and that's all he knew when he became a zombie.
There's
so that's
not monkey
the
bars up there.
Went.
Anyway, so he jumps down on a blonde asshole security guard guy and bites him a little bit, but they start to run away, and this guy has no legs, so he can't chase after him. But
exactly.
Every other fast-moving zombie in the garage hears them, and they start running after them, and of course they start shooting. Mm-hmm. And I did like that they just left the asshole blonde-headed zombie to die. Like, they were like, oh, you've already been bitten anyway, so thank you so much for dying.
And you were a dick.
Yeah, he was a dick, too, yeah.
But, yeah, so now they go into, like, a fenced-off area with gas in it or something.
Exactly. I think that's where the generator
was. Yeah, the generators are, and they have a gas pump, a propane tank.
Propane accessories?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So they start shooting out that gate area where all the zombies are, and the zombies start breaking the gate down, and then Michael, with some quick thinking, sprays some gasoline around on the zombies at their feet, and then CJ starts his Zippo and lights it on fire, and then they all just sort of burn up in that fire.
Yeah, and it's real cool.
It is pretty cool.
And they're like, man, that was intense.
Yeah, there's one shot where like an on fire, I think it was a woman zombie, jumps on the fence on fire. I was like, that's a cool ass shot.
It is cool. Yeah. All right, so now we're back to pregnant wife, and it's real sad.
Oh, man.
And she dies.
Yes.
And he's kissing her belly, and then
he kisses her on the mouth.
He does. Yeah.
Why would you do that?
She hasn't turned yet, and he wants to say goodbye one last time.
The margin of error there is so fast, like, there's no way. No.
He wasn't thinking logically.
No, right, no.
He's an idiot.
No, he just wishes that he had a chance to, like, bring his baby into the world.
Well, no, he does.
He does, yeah, because baby starts kicking out, and we see, like, giant lumps, like, poking out of her belly.
Oh, so, oh, man.
And then mom wakes up and starts zombie lunging at him.
Yeah, because she's a zombie.
So he muzzles her.
Yeah, he had actually already planned for this.
Yeah.
Because he made a belt with like a bite thing in the middle, and then he like wraps it around her head so she can't bite anybody. And then she gives birth to the baby.
Well, yeah, he's like, I see the head. I'm going to pull it out.
Well, we see a just explosion of blood, too.
Yeah.
That's not how it happens.
I don't know how that works.
That's not how it happens.
Yeah.
I believe you. But anyway, while all this is happening, Anna Smart and the older lady are talking, and the older lady's like, I'm going to go check on it to make sure they're all right.
And he's acting real shady, and we haven't seen that pregnant lady in a little while.
Yeah, and so Anna's like, well, cool, let me know if they need anything, because she's a nurse. She's just looking out for their best interest. And this lady goes to the baby store, walks in, and sees Makai holding... like a swaddled baby.
Mm-hmm. He says it's a girl.
And then she looks over and sees zombie mom and then shoots her. And then Makai starts.
No, Makai goes, you're going to kill my family?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So she shoots her. Then Makai pulls his gun and shoots the woman.
The old lady. Yeah.
So
they
get into
a shootout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, they both die. And all the mall gang come up and find her, and they're afraid that she's going to turn into a zombie. And this is when we find out that if you die from something other than zombie bite, you don't come back as a zombie.
Right. It's not the Walking Dead rules.
Right.
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 And then we see baby zombie, which is really sad.
And you hear the baby zombie get shot.
Yeah. We don't see it, thank goodness, but we do hear it. And that whole storyline just makes me really sad. All right, so now they've got the three bodies wrapped up, and they're having their little funeral kind of speech for them. And Ving Rhames is talking about how there are things that are worse than death and that he doesn't want to sit around in the mall and wait to die.
Yeah.
Sarah Polly says she doesn't want to die anymore. Michael says he saw buses down in the garage, and Modern Family says he's got a boat. So the plan's all starting to come together.
Yeah, Modern Family's a real asshole in this. He sort of says the boat plan in a very snarky, stupid way. Mm-hmm. And they're like, that's actually a really good idea. Right. Let's do that.
Except it's not.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea because zombies aren't going to walk into the water. They would drown, right? So, like, theoretically, if you can get to an island, probably safe.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just, it depends on the island.
Like, although I agree, they should stay in the mall.
Well, they're safe in the mall. And I think that's just kind of like, are you choosing your safety in the moment or are you choosing to get yourself out of the situation you're in?
So they decide to go to the boat. Mm-hmm. To go to an island and be safe on the island.
Right. And they're going to use these buses they saw. So we got a bus fixer-upper montage.
Yes.
And minus Modern Family because he doesn't feel like he should have to help because he's the captain.
He's the captain of the boat.
And he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's an ass in this.
Yeah.
And Anna Smart says that exact thing
exactly.
to him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're fixing up these buses. There are two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they put like a battering ram on the front or like a snowplow
yeah.
thing on the front, right?
They're calling Mr. Plow. Snowplow? That's
yeah.
his name. That name
Mr.
again
is
Mr. Plow.
Plow
yeah.
nice. Where do they get a snow plow?
From Mr. Plow.
Yeah.
They called Mr. Plow.
Well, that checks out.
All right. But now Chips is missing.
Yes. Chips the dog
yeah.
is missing.
But then we find him and he's got saddlebags on.
Yeah.
Which is,
why?
I don't. I asked
him.
You why and you said because he's adorable. So I guess that's
I
why.
Mean, yeah, he is adorable. That's
it
fair.
Is real
I mean,
cute.
I would put saddlebags on him. I like yeah. putting dogs in outfits. They're cute.
And I think that just really that scene just is establishing that Nicole and Chips have like a relationship.
The
They're
dog.
Sweet.
They have a bond, right?
Yeah.
She
right.
loves the dog, but also it sets up the thing that he can wear saddlebags,
right?
Which they're going to need soon.
And he's a real good dog.
Is it her yeah. job to clean up the dog poop around the mall?
Yes.
She does it because she loves him.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so now Ving is saying we got 5 more days, and Andy's saying hungry because he's out of food, and we see he's got his shirt off, and we see he's real starting to get emaciated.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, Ving Rhames writes back. He's like, I get it, okay? You yeah. just said I'm hungry.
Yeah,
I don't
you're
need you
losing
to take your shirt
weight.
Off.
We gotcha, okay?
His shirt was already off. He wasn't like, hey, I'm hungry. Check me out. His shirt was just already off.
His whiteboard says swipe right or left.
Ving Rhames quickly draws a right arrow. So they decide to get Andy some food because they want him to last 5 more days.
Yes.
So the plan is to lower Chips
yeah.
with food in the saddlebags,
uh-huh.
and Chips is going to go over to Andy with the food.
Spoiler alert. Nothing bad happens to Chips.
The whole movie.
Yeah. Just
yeah.
spoiler in case you're sensitive to that. Yeah. So they lower Chips down and he's like,
man, this is going to be real rough.
And then he gets to the ground and remembers he's a dog and immediately eats both sandwiches out of the saddlebags.
That's not how it works. You can't. Their necks don't work like that.
Chips would find a way.
Dogs can't look up. So anyway, so Andy blows the whistle and the dog Chips runs towards Andy
mm-hmm.
and the zombies more or less ignore it.
Right. Because he's a dog.
Yeah.
yeah. As it gets to Andy's gun shop, he mm-hmm. opens the doggy door and the dog runs in, but the zombies grab it and then mm-hmm. start to try and get in.
Right.
They hold the door open and other zombies start to get in and we see
right.
him shooting, but he can't mm-hmm. stop some from getting in.
Right. And so they've also sent a walkie-talkie in. So now for the first time, they're hearing each other's voices
yes.
and it's real sweet.
It is really sweet. And he's like, guys, I think I'll be fine, but those fuckers can bite.
Yeah, they can. And so now we know. But he doesn't know they know
yeah,
we
like,
know.
He never knows.
Him? Right.
Because yeah.
they're like, yeah. should we tell him? Should we tell him? And he's
he'll
like,
find out.
Yeah, he'll find yeah. out.
Except now we hear, and Monica's smashing her way all over to Andy's store because Chips is in the store and she knows they're not ever going to go back and rescue Chips. So she's taking it upon herself to rescue Chips. And we had a big discussion about whether you would go get the dog.
No, we wouldn't.
No, we would not go get the dog.
And I understand why Nicole does it. I think I keep calling her Monica.
You
but
did
she's
call her
Nicole.
Monica, but it is
yeah.
Nicole. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, like she's connected with the other guy. I think she would have gone to him first being upset and he wouldn't have let her go to the... I mean, I don't really buy that she gets in the truck and does this.
She does, though.
She does, yeah. And again, I don't care whether it was believable or not. She does. And I could see, like, she's been through a lot recently. She lost her entire family.
Yeah.
And she's got this connection with this dog, and she's just not really thinking logically. So anyway, she bonks over, and she goes in, and we hear her on the walkie-talkie, and she's saying, there's a lot of blood in here.
And then Andy starts to try to attack her, and she locks herself in a closet.
Andy's up on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He writes a zombie signal on the wipe-off
He
board.
Does, which is just a bunch of blood. You can't get that shit off, man.
No.
So Nicole is now trapped in a closet, and she's got Chips, but Andy's trying to get in. So now they've got to go save Nicole.
Yes.
And so now we've got the sewer escape plan.
Which is the better plan. They should have done that forever ago.
Except they have to, like, go into the road. Like, with
I guess
the truck
true.
Plan. You can get closer to the
right.
door, but
literally in 5 minutes, they thought of like 9 plans to go to Andy's.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, Mikey's got some feelings about it.
So Andy's sitting over there, and they're like, well, we could have gone through the sewer, which they knew about. So it's not that something they're like, well, what if we don't know what to do? They're like, let's go to the sewers.
I mean, I don't know if they always make the smartest decisions. It doesn't bother me because it makes interesting things happen in the movie.
But yeah, so they sewer over there, it style, go up through the manhole, and there's a shitload of zombies around. They don't see him yet. As Tucker closes the manhole behind them, it makes like a sound, and all the zombies turn around and start running at Ving Rhames and the crew, right? Right. So Ving Rhames starts shooting at them, and they all start to climb through the van because they have to go through the, I guess it's more of a truck.
Right.
They have to climb through the truck station cab to get to the door, and then Ving Rhames actually loses his shotgun right here.
He does, yeah.
Because the zombies take it, he kicks it, and he goes and climbs through it. I was like, there's no way Ving Rhames fits through that doggy door.
Yeah.
But he does.
Mm-hmm. Ving Rhames is a hamster.
Yeah, he weasels his way through it.
This is where Andy made his mistake. If your doggy door is big enough for Ving Rhames, it's too big.
Yeah. It's also big enough for zombies.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely, yeah. So they get in there, they start loading up on weapons and bullets and stuff, and then they see Andy. And they don't shoot him immediately, which is real dumb.
Well, but I mean, it's
he does shoot him immediately. He's like, sorry, Andy.
No, they like creep up on him and then they go, hey, Andy. Mm-hmm. And then he as a zombie turns around and then they turn him into a Canadian.
Okay. Canadian.
From South Park.
Okay.
Because their heads are completely disconnected from their mouth.
Not that we want to shoot Canadians.
No.
Let's make that very clear.
No.
We love Canadians.
Well.
We love most Canadians.
Well.
We love a lot of Canadians.
The ones I know, you're fine. The rest of y'all are on notice.
There are a lot of horror people in Canada.
Yeah, and listen, if you listen to our podcast from Canada, we love you. If not, fuck all you guys.
And can we move there in two years?
Yeah, can we, like, honestly, just maybe 1 to 5 more years can we stay with you guys?
Yeah.
And then I promise I'll come back.
So now we're going back through the sewer grate.
Well, not yet, because they opened the door that Andy was beating on, and that's Nicole.
And her dog.
Yes.
And Nicole is fine. Chips
and a little
is
dog
fine.
Too.
And this is when they go back to the sewer grate.
Right. So now they're going back through the grate and the zombies getting into the sewers. And I thought Tucker got bit. Does Tucker actually get bit at this point?
No, they all make it down and then he falls.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tucker falls down and hurts his ankle.
And CJ is trying
to
stick. It was his other ankle.
He's like, not my ankle again.
No, it's his other ankle. So now both his ankles, man. He just can't catch a break.
But I love this part because zombies are now jumping down and starting to attack him and CJ's shooting him.
Yeah.
But CJ's trying to save Tucker.
He
hands Tucker his gun.
Yeah.
And Tucker is like dual wielding pistols shooting at them while CJ drags him through the sewers.
Backwards through a river of shit.
It was pretty cool. Anyway, so they get pretty far down, but the zombies catch him and start biting Tucker. So CJ takes the guns and just leaves him.
Well, no, Tucker says, shoot me, and he does. Yes. Yeah.
Which is a kindness.
It is.
And then they do eventually get back to the door they left the mall in and start beating on it. And then the guy, Modern Family, who was supposed to be waiting for them to open the door immediately when they get there, is not there anymore. And they're beating on the door and the zombies fill the stairwell. Mm-hmm. And then they start just unloading on the zombies. And then
slow motion-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know who is there? Sarah fucking Polly.
Yeah. Anna Smart.
Yeah.
And she opens the door.
And is awesome.
Yeah. But no one else dies. Everyone else gets in.
We gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't really need to do, though, because the door's...
No, they need to, because they could not close the door. They tried. Right. Oh, they couldn't.
Mm-hmm. But they could get away. So now the zombies are in the mall, and they've got to go now. So they get to the elevator, and we hear, I'm all out of love. I'm all out of love.
Yeah, but there's no vocals. It's like elevator, I'm all out of love.
Yeah, she's like, this is my favorite song.
It's sweet. It's a little moment. So now they're in the buses.
Yes.
And the buses.
The two different buses.
Yes, there are two different buses, and they're really cool. And we didn't mention that there is a chainsaw thing that is a romantic gesture from Michael to Anna.
Oh, we forgot about their moment too before this. They like hold hands, but they don't do anything.
They don't, no.
But there is obviously some attraction there.
Yeah, like hold hands is like first base.
What base system do you use?
17 bases.
What do you think second base is?
I want to know all 17 bases. It's like cricket, Jen.
Is it?
Wait till you find out what the sticky wicket is.
Cricket has two bases. That side and home plate.
Sex is eighth base. 17th base is when you die, come back, and then you're gone.
That's your loophole?
Uh-huh.
So now they're in the bus.
So they drive out of the garage, right? And they start mowing down zombies, but there are too many zombies for them to go through them all.
Right.
And they start shaking and trying to turn over the vans. And they're using the chainsaw to cut the zombies that are on the side of the van in half.
Mm-hmm.
And Stabler, or CJ, goes onto the roof with a propane tank and lights it and then throws it into the crowd of zombies. And then a zombie holds it up and it's like...
This real muscular zombie.
Yeah, he's like, here you go, CJ. Here's what you're aiming at.
Shoot this guy.
Yeah, I'm maybe only 2 feet away from you, but shoot it.
Yeah, and he shoots it and then all of the zombies fall down.
Yeah.
And now they're free to drive through them all.
And look, stupid or not, it's really cool. I like
it. It did look cool. You're right. It's just, it's dumb.
Well, yeah.
But it looked cool.
All right, so now it's chainsaw time. And they, because they got themselves a hop-on, and you're going to get yourself some hop-ons. You got to look out for them. Watch Arrested Development. It's good, but only the first three seasons.
Yeah.
All right. And so then we've got, and this is one of the parts that I remember from the first movie. So old guy who is now back in the movie, who was married to Wheelbarrow Lady, is operating the chainsaw. And it's real cool. It's going along this like slit in the side of the van, and it's just like chainsawing through all of their knees. And it's, in theory, a good idea, except you've got people erratically driving because of zombiness. Yeah. So you've got a chainsaw in an enclosed area.
Well, also, but there wasn't a lot of zombies in the street. They were taking those turns a little fast for it to be like kind
of
deserted.
They were like smashing cars out of the way, which I guess made sense because they had one that had a snowplow on the front of it.
Yeah.
So it had to clear the way for the one behind it. Oh. But this is where Dairy Queen Lady's husband cuts
into Monica.
Her name is.
Monica. Yeah, like right into her shoulder and like down her body.
Oh, yeah. Kills her. Like it kills her for sure.
And that was mostly a practical effect, too.
Really?
Yeah, they made like a plaster cast of her whole body and they filled the middle part with blood sacks.
Oh.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But I remember that from watching it the first time and just being really upset.
It was real graphic.
It really was. Yeah, and then I guess old dude just has a heart attack, or maybe he gets chainsawed by his own guitar.
Well, this is where the van or bus, whatever, goes on its side.
Right.
And that chainsaw is going, so it may have just gone into him, too.
So the bus flips over.
I like that we've never talked about this one guy until he murders the other girl that we never talk about.
Right, he was just holding the wheelbarrow. Well, we said he disappears until he fucks a bunch of shit up. All right, so now Modern Family's in the bus that got turned over, and he goes outside because I guess he forgets there's a bunch of zombies out there, and he's still got his tie on like a douchebag, and it's tucked into his shirt so it doesn't get caught on anything.
No, he was eating inside the bus.
That is not... No. You know what? He probably was.
He was eating tater tots with like ketchup.
Fancy sauce.
Mm.
But anyways, like that's just not good zombie attire.
No, it's not.
But so he gets a gun, but he notices there's blood dripping on him from above. And just like Mad-Eye Moody, there's a zombie right on top of him and then gets him.
Yes.
And then everybody's getting out of the bus.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty much just Ving Rhames and who?
Sarah Polley.
Yeah, so it's pretty much just Ving Rhames and Sarah Polley that get out of that same bus.
And Michael does too, I think. So there's bus in the street insanity.
Yeah, pretty much the people who were in the snowplow bus go to help the people in the overturned bus.
Mm.
And they collect the two people that were from the overturned bus. And then they see Modern Family. And Sarah Polley's like, oh, I got this.
Uh-huh, because Modern Family's now a zombie.
Yeah, and then she shoots him right in the face.
She does, yeah.
And she's like, ooh, always wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. And then everyone starts running back to the good van. Mm-hmm. And she starts rifling through Modern Family's pockets because they need the key to the boat.
Right. And they can't figure out why she's taking so long. They're like, come on back in, because they don't know that's what she was doing yet. And in all the confusion, Michael may or may not have gotten bit. We see somebody got bit. We don't know who it is yet.
We know who it is.
But we know, because, you know.
But did he really get bit? We'll come back to that.
We've got some theories, guys.
Yeah, we have a theory. So they drive back, and they finally make it to the marina where the boats are.
Yeah, and they drive to the douchebaggiest looking boat there after driving straight into the water.
Yeah, well, they drive straight up onto the dock.
Onto the dock, which immediately collapses into the water.
Yeah, it turns out to be a good plan. I mean, it doesn't collapse into the water, but... Because they run on the dock
it
out
doesn't
there.
Doesn't collapse. Because the zombies are still chasing. CJ stays in the thing. He's like, I'll fight him off, Ving Rhames, because I'm trying to be good.
I'll catch up.
Yeah.
Of course he won't. But Ving Rhames, they all run off. CJ's still in the van, and he lures them all into the van.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they're biting him, he lights a flare and then shoots the propane tank. And the whole thing explodes.
Yeah, and this is how we know that he's experienced some personal growth through all of this trauma. Because at the beginning, he was saying, I will kill all of you if it means... That I'm safe.
Yeah, good point, Jen.
Yeah.
And then this time he says, I'll kill myself to make sure you all live.
Yeah. I honestly think he was just over it. He's just like, this is a dumb world.
No,
because
he has volunteered to help people from the moment she gets stuck in Andy's until now.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Down in the sewers.
He's the first one to do that.
Yeah. He's discovered his heart of gold.
But anyway, that plan that CJ pulled off actually stops the zombies from being able to go out to them because the thing is on fire and they can't get around it to the dock.
Right.
So now it's just Nicole and Nicole's security guard boyfriend, the trainee guy.
Yes.
You've got Anna Smart.
Yeah.
You got Chips.
We got
Ving Rhames. And you got Michael.
Yeah.
And they all get on the boat. They start the boat. They untie the boat. And then they're like, all right, Michael, get on. He's like,
yeah, Mikey's like, oh.
This is going a little fast for
you
me.
Guys,
I got plans next weekend.
Yeah, we're moving too fast.
Yeah. I got bit or something.
Yeah, I got bit on the arm.
See, I got that looks untie like this ketchup boat. On your arm. Go ahead.
Look, it's not you.
Yeah.
It's me. I've got a bite on my arm.
I got a bite on my arm.
I think it's a bite.
Yeah, I'll text you.
Definitely not ketchup.
Yeah, listen, guys, I just want to watch the sunrise.
Yeah, right. I got to watch the sunrise. I got to, like, find myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to just push this boat out, and I'll like, come find you, like, when I'm ready.
Hot take.
It'll be fine.
He's the only one that survives this movie.
I think so. I think he just didn't want to commit. I mean, it's been 3 months. We've all been there.
Yeah. Listen.
Look, he's already been divorced 3 times. He's not going down that road.
He doesn't want to repeat the cycle. I get it.
So he pushes the boat out. Boat goes out.
Yeah.
You hear a gunshot, but you never see anything.
No, you don't.
And there's other boats on that dock.
So what actually happens is he says, I got bit, and they have their heartfelt goodbye, and it's real sad. And he says, I want to see the sunset. And we see him get a gun out of his pocket, and then we see the zombies start to run up to him. And then we watch the boat, and then we hear a gunshot.
Yeah.
And then credits. I think both versions could stand. You know, there's evidence for both sides. Listeners, what do you think?
But also, we need to talk about the end credits because they fucking.
Man, I really just want to be able to say, and that's the movie, because I like the movie so much more if it just ends there.
So, and that's what I do. Like in movies like Black Swan, I just say, and that's the movie. And then I just pretend that is the movie. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I do that with some movies. Like in Dead Poets Society, I feel like it ends when his dad shows up to see him at the play.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't go on, that movie it's got a pretty good turn. Like Red Foreman's like, you know what? I'm going to go support my son and watch him in the play. Credits.
They stand on desks. What else do you need?
You never see the rest of it. It's great.
Exactly.
It's an uplifting movie.
But not this movie.
No.
So this okay. Anyway, I feel like Zack Snyder's like, I'm super edgy. Look at me. I wear goth makeup. And then like kills off all the main characters in the post credits.
Everyone in this movie dies.
Maybe not. Maybe they just drop the camera on the dock, then get back on the boat. Because we don't see another person after they drop the camera.
Well, it shows them running out of food and water and being desperate and in bad moods. They get to an island and a bunch of zombies come and they drop the camera and you hear all these death noises.
Yeah, and I choose to believe that they all got back on the boat and they found Paradise Island.
This to me seems like a big fuck you to everyone that just watched the movie.
I agree.
I hate that.
It leaves such a sour taste in my mouth. I didn't watch this movie again after I watched it in theaters.
Just because of the ending?
Yeah. I didn't like. I feel like it didn't fit with the movie. They were just trying to do something like twist indie. And they didn't do it well, I feel like it's Utah. It feels like they just tell everybody like, piss off.
Yeah.
All of that was done after the principal shooting was done too. So I don't know if that was an add in from like some suggestion for studio.
Well,
or
that
anything.
Was a bad studio note if that's what that was.
Yeah, I probably would have enjoyed it better if that didn't exist. But it didn't ruin the movie for me though.
But that is the end of the movie there.
Right, and that's the movie.
Yep. Yeah. So honestly, I don't know, man. I didn't like the movie, but I never liked the movies. That is a surprise to nobody. But I liked it a lot more until the credit scene. Like, the credit scene ruined it for me.
So if the credit scene had not existed.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If the credit scene had not existed, it's a decent zombie movie. Mm. I mean, I've only seen, what, 2 zombie movies? 28 Days Later is better. And it was probably a little bit scarier. But this wasn't a bad movie. Like, Ving Rhames is awesome. Anna Smart's awesome. Like, there's things to like about this movie. Mm. I just don't like being scared. And there were moments I was scared.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't like that aspect of it, but I can definitely understand why people like it.
Yeah.
Except for the end credits, man.
I'm with you, Todd. I feel like what this movie does well is it's got a good action. It's a good action movie, and it's all character-based. So there's a lot of character arcs. You know who Michael is. You know who Amy Smart is. You know who Ving Rhames is. You know the people who make it to the end, you know that their characters have gone on a journey. They've changed and all this stuff.
And you care about them.
And you care about it. And that's why I think the post-credits really make me angry, because they do go on such a character arc, all of them, and then it just pisses on it.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, I actually really liked this movie a lot. I'm not crazy about zombie movies, but I think this was a lot of action, a lot of really cool effects. It scared me, but I do, like you were saying, I think there's enough character work that I care about these people. The ending doesn't really bother me that much, because I think, I also think I just tend to like nihilistic endings a little bit more than you guys. Like, they don't bother me that much.
I just feel like I wasted my time watching the movie, because everyone in the movie that I like connected to died.
And I get nihilistic endings in my life all the time, so.
Yeah, and I think that, well, that's a lot longer conversation. I think that's part of why I like it, you know, because I see reality shit.
So let's do box office. So the budget for this movie was
$26 million.
We didn't look it up.
And it made $59 million domestically and $43 million foreign. So it made over $100 million.
Nice.
Kind of a poor performance, I bet. I bet it underperformed.
I don't know, man. $100 million in 26, that's not bad, man.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I would take $102 million on a $26 million investment any day.
Right.
Now, so I bet they probably spent about $10 or $20 million to promote it. But still, that's $60 million profit on a movie. So yeah. That's box office.
And it was pretty well received, too.
It was. And listen, guys, in its first week out, because it premiered the weekend of March 19th, March 21st of 2004, right? Mm-hmm. It was the top movie. It beat out another zombie movie, The Passion of the Christ, and Taking Lives and Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, Lord. I saw Passion of the Christ in theaters.
So did I. But it was in its fourth week when this movie came out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And that's box office, guys.
All right. So, Jen's Fun Facts.
Jen's Fun
Facts. All right.
All right. Fuck it. Let's do some fun facts. Bring in the heat. You want to come in with the facts. Gonna knock off your feet. All right. Let's do this.
Nice. So the special effects in this movie were done by Heather Langenkamp.
A woman?
No, do you know who she is? She's from Nightmare on Elm Street. She's awesome. And yes, she is a woman.
I focused on the wrong thing. I'm
sorry.
Yeah,
you did. Jeez, Todd. Yeah, it's Heather Langenkamp, also known as Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street. She's awesome. And David Leroy Anderson, and they own AFX Studio together.
Awesome.
All right, so there were a lot of special effects, and I think they tried to do practical effects as much as they could. Like, anytime you saw somebody get shot from behind, they had a remote in their hand that would activate a blood packet that would spurt blood from the back of their head. So
it was real meaty, too.
Yeah.
They looked great. The effects did look real great.
Mm-hmm.
Even the CGI didn't look bad.
Yeah.
It was fine. Mm-hmm. Especially for 2004.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's aged pretty well.
It did hold up pretty well.
I agree. So speaking of effects that look real good, so when they were stitching up Ving Rhames' arm, they hired a real nurse to do the close-up so that it would look authentic.
Nice.
And she misunderstood the directions for her to like go deeper into the arm, and she actually sewed the prosthetic to Ving Rhames' arm.
Oh my God.
Did he say anything?
He said something later. He finished the scene because he's amazing.
That is really badass. Yeah,
hey, dude. Yeah, the director was like, that looks really great. That blood effects guys, awesome job. But yeah.
Yeah, he's like, that's my real blood.
Exactly.
And I'm in a lot of pain.
And yeah, can you please unsew this thing from my arm?
It's a workman's comp claim.
Yeah, contact OSHA. All right. Speaking of Ving Rhames, he specifically wanted to be in this movie and he sought out this part.
Really?
Yeah, because he...
In the original Dawn of the Dead, it's one of the most like affirmative like African-American roles like in film back then.
Yeah, he wanted to be in it because the black guy lives in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
Well,
he doesn't in this movie, but yeah.
Well, because of the end credits.
I'm going to pretend that he does in this movie.
Yeah, I'm going to pretend the end credits don't exist because this movie's not bad.
Right.
In Romero's original trilogy, race is like a big part.
I've heard that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's actually really good and holds up. And I really like the original Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So speaking of George Romero, you guys are leading me right into fun facts today. It's awesome.
George Romero
saw this and he said, it was better than I expected. And that was his review.
All right, that's fair.
But he said something that I totally agree with, that the beginning 11 minutes, that beginning scene is amazing. Yeah. And one of my favorite opens in any horror movie.
Yeah.
Second only to Scream.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
That's the thing. It's like it opens with such high quality.
Right. And I think it carries throughout. I do think that's the high point of the movie. But yeah, that's what he said. He was like, that beginning scene is awesome. And I don't think he was crazy about the rest of it. But I imagine it's probably hard to watch a reimagining of your own movie, too, you know?
Yeah.
All right. They had planned to do a sequel, but they canceled it. And I'm not exactly sure. I think because maybe Zack Snyder went on to do something else. Maybe Watchmen was what he did next after this.
300 and then Watchmen. I
do really like 300. All right. Nathan Fillion auditioned for the role of Michael.
Oh, man.
Oh, he would have been so much better.
You think so?
Nathan Fillion can do anything.
I've not seen him in anything. I've just heard you talk about him with love.
Nathan Fillion's amazing.
Nathan Bazell?
Yo, all Nathans can get it.
All right. So speaking of that, we got some cameos in this movie. I already said Tom Savini and I said Ken Foray. But we also have Scott H. Reiniger, who plays a general in that the newscast montage. And he played Roger in the original movie.
Nice. I think it's cool that they gave parts to the original cast.
I think some of them.
I'm sure not all of them, but yeah.
Because they weren't technically making a remake because the plot is pretty significantly different, but they were trying to make a reimagining for younger audiences that maybe hadn't seen the original, which is me, and that might be part of why I really liked this movie. All right, so they renovated Thornhill Square Mall in Ontario, Canada. which was a defunct mall. They ended up tearing it down after this movie was over, but they did a lot of renovations and they added that fountain into the mall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so some of the store names, too, were kind of nods to the original. There's a Woolies Diner in there, and there was a character in the original named Wooly.
Yeah, Woolies Diner was the dry erase board that Ving Rhames was holding up.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, yeah. And the store Galen Ross, which I think was a department store. Galen Ross is the name of the actress who played Anna in the original.
Oh. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my last fun fact. This was supposed to be released in the UK the same weekend as Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
But because the names were so similar, they pushed Shaun of the Dead back a week.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, just a few letters off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though. And those are my fun facts.
Thank you for your fun facts.
Well, you're welcome.
So, Jen, hit us with that scary scale.
Hey, listeners. Our scary scale is a ranking we use to rank how scared we were when we watched this movie. It's not a ranking of the quality of the film. It's how scared we were tonight when we watched it. Our one example is Ghostbusters. Our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Todd, what's up?
I think I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
Because there were some scary moments, but I don't think overall it was super scary.
It's more of an action film.
Yeah, it's more. I'll agree. Yeah. And I think maybe it's because everyone told me this was going to scare the shit out of me. So I was like really amped up to see something that was like Hereditary level scary.
Yeah.
And it's nowhere close to that. It does have some scary moments, though. So if like you are a horror virgin or there's one in your life, this may not be the best movie to have them watch first.
Yeah, and it's real gory.
Yeah, it is really gory. So if like body horror really affects you, I would avoid it. But it's overall not a bad movie.
And so listeners, what I'm hearing is we need to start lowballing these movies.
Oh, please don't.
All right, Mikey, what you got?
I'm going to give it a 1.
All right.
Ooh. Well, you've already seen it, and it's not super scary.
How much animosity is attached to that
14
one?
14 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Right. What?
Yeah, there is body horror, which I do not like. There's some scenes in it that are troubling to me. There's a whole pregnancy thing that's just upsetting.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I tend to be more disturbed by things rather than like I'm screaming in my seat or something. But yeah, it just, it bugs me.
So this week, the listeners made me watch Dawn of the Dead.
Thank you, listeners.
And next week, you guys are making me watch what?
Last year, we started October off with Scream.
Oh, yeah.
We did, Mike. You may not remember that because you were actually someone else when that happened.
Yeah.
But this year, we are kicking off October with Scream 2, and I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too.
Yeah, I love this movie.
All right, guys. So watch Scream as well. And Scream 2.
Scream also.
Yeah, watch Scream 2 for next week.
And I think it may have just come out on Netflix, so check that out.
Oh, nice.
I know.
Watch it for free.
Look at that happy coincidence.
I guess you pay your subscription. That's right. I forget how Netflix works.
Just pirate it.
Yeah, guys. So we are going to read a 5-star review. And when I say we, of course, naturally, I mean Mikey is going to read a 5-star review. We actually got a few this week, so we're going to do another one. And thank you guys so much.
You.
If you would like us to read your 5-star review, leave us a 5-star review. Mikey, would you like to practice?
Thank you, Todd.
Would you like to practice your reading skills, Mikey?
Yes. 7.
Sven.
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 Oh my
Sven.
Gosh.
1076.
Yes.
So Sven says, I feel like I just have to make this known. I discovered this podcast maybe 2 months ago and was instantly hooked.
Nice.
Oh, thanks.
I don't do this with any other movie review podcast.
Well, okay. Thank you for making an exception. For
but I have listened to all the episodes of the movies.
Aw.
I've seen.
Your reading skills are amazing. I love
it. They're getting better.
Yeah.
Gone back and around and listened to them again. And now, so into the pod that I'm listening to episodes of movies that I haven't seen.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like it's almost more enjoyable than seeing the actual film.
I mean,
pro tip, guys.
Speaking as the horror virgin, it is a lot better than actually watching these movies.
I do have friends that say they're too scared to watch the movies, but they like listening because we pretty much summarize the whole thing.
Yeah.
You guys are a riot.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks for the earball joy.
Remember when we talked about earballs?
I did. Yeah. Ear Christmas trees was my favorite.
That was my favorite, too.
Winky face emoji. 5-star.
Sven, thank you so much for the nice review. Sven. And if you guys would like us to read your 5-star review, leave us a 5-star review. We are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. So if you're listening to us in that feed, switch over to our feed and get the show 2 days earlier. You guys know this stuff already.
Unless it's your first episode, and then this is brand new information.
It is. And if you're listening to us in their feed, you're getting also Death, Dying, and Other Things, The Lovely Final Girls, and of course, the Modern Horrors Podcast.
Yes.
If you want to check out all of our shit, go to horrorvirgin.com.
All of our delightful content. content.
Awesome content. Yeah. Horrorvirgin.com for Jen's blog. Yeah. We got links to the merch store and all that great gravy train stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to follow us on social, it's at Horror Virgin. Jen is at Jen Ferratu. Mikey is at M Randolph 24, and I am at Todd J. Awesome. Really, if you want to hang out with us and get a bunch of exclusive content daily, join the Facebook group.
Yeah. What are we, over 300 members?
Yeah,
right,
over 300 members. Yeah.
Lots of really fun stuff.
We add like 15 to 20 members a week. It's awesome. It's growing really fast. Thank you guys so much for that. And thank you guys to the people who are in it. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for having fun with us every day.
Yeah, you guys are what make that group really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And the mods who help us run it.
Definitely not me.
I don't know, Mikey. You're pretty great in that. Yeah.
Guys, we talked a lot about Patreon at the beginning of the show, but just a reminder, we've got a lot of really cool content, and we've got different levels, too. So if you want to financially support the show, there's lots of cool stuff.
At patreon.com/horrorvirgin. You'll see it there.
That's going to be it from us, everybody. Thank you, listeners, so much for requesting and voting on this movie. It really means a lot to us, and I particularly liked it, so thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm Jen.
All right, I'm Mikey, and like the end credits, it's going on too long.
And I'm your horror virgin, Todd, guys. We'll see you next week.
Seven. Todd's next number is seven.
What? No. It's actually, wait, what number of that is? Oh. Seven's actually in it. Shit. Guys, bye. Nerds.
Have a good week.
Shit.
Yeah. I forgot it. Catchphrase.